The following is a production of 10 Ply Media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Couch Thoughts Podcast. From a couch, I'm Rocky Persinger. With me, again, partner in crime, Brent Pickens. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Rock?
Hey, man. So, you know, here we are back another week. We have, this is the Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a few days off here, a few rare days off for you.
Yeah, it's been nice.
It's been pretty nice. Got to see all the family and everything for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was typical one in the Pickens household.
Just a little brawl.
A little tussle.
A little fist fight. I mean, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I just... I got to tell the story, I hope you don't mind,
Go for it.
The first time I brought Allison to Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I remember that one. Yep.
And, Brent and his sister, and who was it? Was it the big yelling match?
It was me and Cheyenne.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Brent and his sister got a big yelling match.
Well, and it started off, I was joking with her, and she got all pissy, and... you know, I was just messing with her like I mess with everyone else. And
I've been dating my wife for about 6 months at that point.
I felt so bad. Allison was so, she didn't know. She's so quiet anyway.
This was one of the first times she met you.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, she didn't know how we are together. you know, when we're not on the podcast, we have a certain way of talking with each other. And, you know, it's like you get around your best friends and you're a different person,
than you are
with your significant other.
Well, I remember y'all pulled in. I'm standing on the hill there. And I can't remember what I said, but
I'm sure you cussed me. But, I'm 90% sure.
But then, like, the look on Allison's face, she's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it was probably something like, what are you doing, you sly son of a bitch?
it was probably what it was.
And then she's like, why is he cussing
at me? Are we at the right place? Yeah. Why is he so hostile?
He's so mad. He's so angry. But, and then Brent and his sister getting a big yelling match.
But the thing that started all of it, if I remember right, of course, anybody that's been my grandparents, you know, as soon as you walk in, mom and papa both, you hungry?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's Thanksgiving, and Rocky and Alice sit down eating, and I start joking around with my sister, and, you know, she's like, well, you think you're just so perfect. You think, mom and papa, you know, think you're the golden child, this and that.
He's the golden child.
And I was like, no, I never said that, and she's like, well, you've lied to them about this, about that. I was like, no, they know everything I've ever done. I was like, the first time I got drunk, I told her after it. I was like, I drank. And she's like, just be careful. You don't want you to turn into an alcoholic or something.
Yeah, because, you know, Brent's mama and papa, and especially his mama, is like, she's the best, man.
Yeah.
I remember when I told her, you know, I was going to college and I was going to get a good job, you know, and I told her, she's like, what are you going to spend all your money on? And I was like, what did I say? Booze and women.
Yeah, he did.
I told her booze and women. She thought it was the most hilarious thing.
She did.
Which is just the greatest, you know. So at the time, she was like in her late 70s, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just hilarious. And, you know, that's just kind of a relationship that, you know, Brent has with his mom.
Yeah, I mean, heck, in high school, I'd skip on a Friday or something. And normal people's like... You know, if I skipped, I told her. I was like, I just didn't go. Or we'd skip and go hang out in the basement, and she'd make us pancakes or waffles or something else, you know?
Yeah,
so,
she's...
Like, I've always had a relationship with my grandma that I've always told her if I was going to do something.
Yeah.
You know, when on the weekends if we drink or something, you know, she's like, well, you know, just be safe. Don't go out and driving or something.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, I'm going out Daryl and Kathy's. Hang with Matt and we might have a bonfire or something. She's like, okay, well, just don't go anywhere. Just, you know,
yeah.
Call me and, you know.
Oh, she's the best, you know. And, you know, my parents were like, we never did anything really bad, you know. I mean, we hung out and played video games and stuff.
Yeah.
you know, my parents, my mom was kind of like, ain't you going to go out and, you know, drink or something? I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Well, one of the first times we rode with you, me and Matt rode with you and your mom, like, because me and Matt, we didn't really cuss in front of our parents.
Oh, yeah.
On the way up there, Rocky's like, he's cussing his mom and dad. What is he doing?
Yeah, so even when I was, like, a kid in elementary school, my mom's like, you can say shit, damn, and hell, and ass, you know. She's like, you can say those words, just don't say them at school. So, like, even when I was, like, I was the only kid in elementary school that knew how to, like, you know, cuss and everything. So, that's just, you know, kind of laid back. And it's crazy, you know, from where we came from, it's crazy we didn't get into some more stuff. But
I know. It
It kind of proves that, you know, it's not real. Sometimes it's not, you know, they have this whole thing like nature versus nurture thing. Like, yeah, where you were brought up or how you were brought up.
Yeah.
It kind of proves that, you know, it's not always about, you know, where you're brought up or anything like that, you know?
No, because that's what kills me. People blame it on this and that, and it's like, man, you know what you're doing is right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because I could have easily went down that road, and, you know, there's members of my family that you know, went down that road bad, and I'm like, why? You know, and mom, you know, mom, dad, you know, when dad's at the hospital, you know, they're telling me, you know, I tell everybody, you know, how proud of you I am and this and that, and I'm like, yeah, I stay away from it because, you know, by the time I work all week, pay the bills, I don't have money for drugs. Even if I did, you know, but I guess they look at it like, well, who cares about the bills? I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this fixed. But I don't know. I think a lot of it's where my grandparents raised me, so that may have helped.
Yeah.
And I still have real good friends that we never...
At least one.
At least. But we, you know, we were too busy playing football, basketball, playing video games. You know,
always out playing football or basketball.
But I think we also had the mindset of the peer, you know, peer pressure wasn't a thing for us because it's like, if I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't, nothing you say is going to make me. And the hell with, I don't care what. You know, you say about what the clothes I'm wearing or whatever. Yeah. You know, the hell with.
Yeah, you know, we'll
be me and.
We never really went in with the whole crowd thing, which, you know, but it's also why, you know, I probably didn't have a girlfriend in high school. But what are you going to do?
Hey,
you know, hey, it happened.
Do you, man?
Hey, there you go. You know, I was. All right. So, you know I'm talking.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Yes. So. All right, I got derailed on that one.
Oh, boy.
We're going to start out with a little college football talk this week for our good friends who like college football talk.
Well, there's a couple of them out there.
Yeah, there's a couple. You know, we wanted to start off with this Texas Tech Texas A&M LSU game.
Yes, that 7 overtimes.
7 overtimes. The final score, 74-72 A&M.
That is insane.
That is a ridiculous score.
The highest scoring game ever.
Which, you know, I had just watched the Oklahoma-West Virginia game, which was 59-56 Oklahoma, and I thought, man, that's going to be, that's the highest scoring game I've seen in a while. Well, A&M and LSU said, hold my beer.
Watch this.
You know, so... You know, LSU was kind of, they were a 2-loss team going into the weekend. Now they're a 3-loss team, so that kind of puts them out of any sort of contention, you know, for playoff eligibility or anything. Even if, you know, some people lost, which, you know, Georgia won and Oklahoma obviously beat West Virginia. So the playoff picture right now, you know, we've got Alabama sitting at 12-0. Clemson sitting at 12-0, Notre Dame sitting at 12-0, and then let's talk about Michigan. So Michigan was at number 4 in the AP poll. Do they not call it the AP poll at this point in the season? It's like the college football playoff poll,
I guess.
Something like that. But Michigan was sitting at number 4.
I mean, come on, Michigan, what the hell?
And Ohio State, you know, just straight up rolled them. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ohio State sitting at number 10. Ohio State had lost to Purdue 49-20 earlier in the season. And they just come out Michigan and they 62-39 Ohio State. Ohio State, they put themselves back into, you know, the whole playoff race.
Yep.
But I don't think they can get in there. But, man, you know, Michigan. They just can't beat Ohio State.
They can't beat them.
Urban Meyer just owns Michigan. And Harbaugh's probably all pissy today.
Yeah, I mean, he can't beat Ohio State. I think he's 0-4 against them all.
And if you're at Michigan and you can't beat Ohio State, you better be hunting for another job.
Yeah, but who are they going to get other than Harbaugh? I mean,
I don't know if they care. Like, you could win every single other game of the season, which they lost one other game. Who else did they lose to here? Trying to look back, see who they lost to Notre Dame, which Notre Dame's at number 3. So, yeah. You know, they were a one-loss team that if they just took care of business, they're in the playoff. You know, yeah. The playoff would have been set. So, Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame are the 3 undefeateds, and then you're going to have a one-loss team, which is either going to be Georgia or Oklahoma,
yeah.
Who are both playing in their conference championship games.
Yeah.
So that's going to make it interesting, you know, as far as if Georgia loses to Alabama and then Oklahoma beats Texas, yeah. You could be looking at an Oklahoma in that number 4 spot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so, because Georgia had lost to, who did I say Georgia had lost to? LSU, which, you know, LSU, obviously we just talked about the 7 overtime game, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
so Georgia's loss is not that bad.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, LSU's going to still be, because Texas A&M was ranked 22nd. So it's not like that loss is too bad. They're still going to be, they could be on the outskirts of a top 10 team.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Michigan probably still be top 10, but they're going to be, they're probably going to drop to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
UCF might move up a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm worried about them because, I don't feel. I mean, after that injury, man, that's
that quarterback was their star, and he basically tore every ligament in his knee.
Yeah,
I guess they had a. If you look at it, it's just gruesome, like his legs hanging sideways. I guess I did hear some news yesterday that the UCF quarterback they performed a surgery and stabilized his knee. So I don't know if that means he'll ever play football again.
Yeah.
But you know he'll be able to walk again, so that's good.
I hate that, man, because
that's terrible.
Anybody knows us, we pull for the smaller teams.
We do. Boise State, Fresno State. I love the Mountain West, which is basically all the old Western Athletic Conference teams, the WAC.
The WAC.
Yeah. I like the MAC, the WAC, all the ACs. UCF, man. I forget what their streak
is.
That's
20, now. I think 23 wins.
Which is just ridiculous, you know. So, they're not going to get into the playoff.
No.
But, you know, that's why I think it should be an 8-team playoff.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't understand, and I know we've talked about this before, make like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Men's basketball.
You know, or
why can't you?
They could do,
and then the Final Four, or the final, Elite Eight.
Yeah,
put those as the bowl games.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't, but I think they play a 12-game season right now. You could cut that down to 11 or 10, and then have a playoff.
Yeah,
3 weeks or so.
I don't see why they can't do.
You could even have. I guess you could have a top 10 playoff. And then, you know, the first and second seeded team get a bye the first week or something.
Yeah.
It could work. I don't see why they don't, honestly. You know, like an 8-team playoff.
This 4-team playoff thing is...
That's stupid. Like, that's a stupid excuse for, you know, there were no playoffs, and they're like, oh, we need a playoff. So you're going to put the top 4 teams in there?
Yeah.
And it happens every year. You've got this small school, like a UCF, that's undefeated. and they don't even get a shot at all.
Yeah, just because their strength of schedule isn't. I mean, it's not their fault they're not playing in the Big 12 or the SEC. Or, I mean, we've seen it several times where, you know, if you go back to Boise, when Boise knocked off Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That was one of the most exciting games I've ever watched.
And if they would have been in the national championship game, there's an argument that they could have won.
Yeah.
You know?
With that team, you know, I really think they could have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you look back on that team they had when they knocked off Oklahoma, they had a pretty damn good team.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I would just like to see, you know, these little these smaller teams get a little bit more more opportunity, you know? Yeah. And there's a guy, he's a big WU fan. He came in there. We were talking about these smaller schools. And he brought up that he's like, well, it's not really fair because, you know, it's easy for a smaller school to play in a bowl game and knock off like an Oklahoma team than to every week in, week out play in a Big 12 where each team.
Well, that's true.
Which, I mean, I do agree with that, but just, I mean, you got to give some, you got to give them opportunity to do something, the smaller teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they go undefeated, win, you know, 30 games in a row, yeah, you got to get them in there. I mean, I understand with the 4-team playoff, they're not going to get in.
Right.
But that's why I say change the freaking 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, UCF is sitting at number 9 right now. You know, and Washington State lost to Washington this week. So they could potentially, and also, you know, Michigan lost. So UCF could move up to number 8.
Yeah.
And then if you have, you know, because Washington State's going to be a 3-loss team now. LSU is going to be a 3-loss team now. So UCF could potentially move up to number 7.
Mm.
You know, so if you have an 8-team playoff, they get in the playoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see why you don't do it. Cut one game off the season.
Yeah.
Or still play your 12 games. The NFL plays a 16-game schedule.
Yeah.
You know, get rid. They could. I know people love the conference championship games. Get rid of the conference championship game.
Yeah.
And, you know, make it. Because, like, Alabama's got to play Georgia this week. Well, I mean, what's the really point? That could be the national championship game, you know?
Yeah.
And Georgia's got to play Alabama. Now, if Georgia loses and Oklahoma wins, Oklahoma's going to get in there. Well, that's not really fair because Georgia lost to LSU and Alabama.
Yeah.
So their losses aren't that bad. You know, Oklahoma only lost to Texas. If they win if they're going to have to beat Texas, you know, this time. So they're going to avenge their loss. So if they beat Texas,
yeah.
You know, so that makes them look good. But, you know, yeah, I understand, you know, the 4-team playoff, they tried.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a piss poor excuse for a playoff.
It is.
Yeah. So 8 teams at least, you know, that's all I'm calling for is the 8-team playoff. Maybe a 10-team playoff with, you know, the number 1 school and the number 2 school get a bye the first week.
Yeah.
That could work, too. I think the numbers work out on that. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, 8 teams. Come on. But, yeah, so we'll see. It's either going to be Georgia or Oklahoma for the number 4 spot, depending on who wins their conference championship games. But they could have just got rid of the conference championships and played an 8-team playoff. So
yeah, I mean,
so you know, but I think that's all about all I got on college football this week. So you know, WVU controlled their own destiny to get into the Big 12 championship, lost to Oklahoma. Kyler Murray is just a beast.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to get into the WVU thing. We talked a lot last week. You know, but there's a couple controversy things like Will Grier won't take a sack and has 2 fumbles. And then also it's 4th and 6 in the first quarter on the opposing team's 10-yard line and you don't kick a field goal. So, you know, I won't get into it, but WVU fans, you know, you know that this always happens. So the next thing we got, we're going to finally talk about one of our listeners, our buddy Kreitz, had suggested, wanted to know, he's not big into video games, but he wanted to know if we were going to get Fallout 76.
Negative.
So I was kind of waiting on the reviews. you know, just to come out. Because they release it, like we said before, they release it 3 weeks after Red Dead Redemption 2, which is bad move, man.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, that's like a Star Wars movie getting released, and then the next week they release the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you doing that? You know. But seeing the reviews of the game, it's not good, guys.
The only thing that would, the saving grace of the whole thing is the, if you're getting it on just because it's a West Virginia game, the visuals and stuff, I heard the graphics and everything look really good.
Yeah.
But this goes back to, there's no NPCs, non-playable characters. There's no story. There's no...
Yeah, like I told Pickles before, you know, so the story of the game is you're one of the first people to come out of the vault, right?
Yes.
So it kind of makes sense that you're, you know, the only people out there. You know, you're supposed to be the first round of people out of the vault. But, you know...
You gotta have a story. You can't play a game without a story.
You gotta have non-playable characters like NPCs. You know, to give you quests and give you stories. From what I see, there's only like computers and robots to interact with to get to, you know, give you missions. And then from what I understand, you rarely run into other players. It's like a rare thing unless you've got your friends with you. So.
Yeah, good buddy of my work with, mutual friend of me and Rock's, he got it. He was like, man, it's definitely, he's like, it's not worth it. He's like, maybe later when they do some stuff to it, he's like, maybe it'll be better. He's like, but it is definitely not worth the $60.
Yeah. But I was telling Brent, man, I can't, why is that the new standard? It's like, okay, we're going to put this game out and it's incomplete and it's glitchy and it sucks, but, you know, we'll fix it later with patches. So go ahead and give me your $60 now. But we promise it'll be better later.
Well, just knowing the games that they put out year in, year out with the Fallout, you know, they always make those complete games.
Yep.
And I've said this before. I think I've said it on this podcast. It's like you got Fallout 4. They stripped everything out of it.
Yeah.
They put West Virginia background in it. Did some amazing things visually and made it look really good. And then they put the online on it, and then they just shipped it out. They didn't put any. I mean, there's nothing else. To me, it's just a. It's almost just a. You know, all these new games, like the Battle Royale stuff. To me, that's Fortnite. All this is.
Yeah.
It's a huge map for y'all can do a free for all. I mean that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of not that, too, because it's kind of, well, one, it's, those, what, say what you will about Fortnite, it's not really glitchy.
Yeah.
You know, this Fallout 76 has a ton of glitches. Like, you know, enemies disappear and reappear, you know, people get glitched into walls, there's things that, you know, disappear and then glitch out on you. The servers are awful.
Yes.
You know, which, you know, the Fortnite servers, it's a crap game, but hey, those servers, you can get in a game and the servers work. You know, so Bethesda just kind of, they didn't put enough effort into this game, you know, from what I hear, and I'm just not going to purchase it, man. Even though, because here's what I'm thinking, right? It's the West Virginia backdrop, but it's an always online game.
Yeah.
So once the servers go down here in about 10 years, I can't play that game anymore.
Nope.
I can't go to the West Virginia backdrop. So, you know, Fallout 3 on my PlayStation 3,
yep.
I can still put that in. It's in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
I can still put that in and play it, you know, and there wasn't even any online in that game. New Vegas, I can go back to Las Vegas, play it. Fallout 4, I can go back to Boston, play it.
Yep.
Once the servers are down for this game, I won't be able to see West Virginia anymore. You know, so that really sucks. Unless they, you know, when they take the servers down, they just make it a offline game. I don't know how you'd do that.
So. Especially with no nothing else.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. And anybody knows us, you know, we're not super huge into just the online-only games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Rocky just said, you can't go back and replay them. Well, hell, what was the college football game you were trying to play and you couldn't?
Well, NCAA 13. So, I tried to access the servers to download some rosters. And it was just like, nope, the servers are down. Can't do it. Sorry. So now I can't download any rosters. NCAA 14, you can actually download new rosters, like this year's current rosters, and play with, you know, current players. You know, so if it was West Virginia, I could play with Will Greer, you know, Sills.
Maybe change their destiny.
Yeah, well, I'd definitely be undefeated. But, yeah, the servers are down now, so that's just an offline game. But at least I can fall back on the game itself.
True.
You know, and play, and still play the game. With these online-only games, you can't play it. You know, if the servers are down, they're down, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, so... and that's like any of the Battlefield games, any of those. The servers go down, you're done.
Yep.
You know, Call of Duty, same way, which I hate those games anyway, but, you know, once the online goes down, you basically hosed. And that kind of makes me mad that, like, you know, in 10 years, if somebody wants to go play the Fallout game that was based in West Virginia, they won't be able to.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
Just sucks. You know, West Virginia finally got a game,
yeah.
And they didn't put their full everything they had into it.
Yeah,
because they could have made a really good story. They could have, but they took the cheap way out so they could get some vast money quick.
Yep.
They just put this game out way before it was time, and it could have been a really good story. You know, because there's a lot of different things they could have done with this.
Well, I was telling Pickens, you know, I was watching a YouTube video. It's like, you know, they don't have NPCs in this game because if they had NPCs to give you quests, it'd just be like Fallout 4 with your friends. And who the hell would want that? well, that's exactly what we wanted. You know, so, yeah, and Bethesda in general, they're getting kind of lazy.
Yeah.
You know, Fallout 4 was good. Don't get me wrong, it was a good game, but you just look at something like Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Fallout games don't really stack up to that.
No.
And, you know, the story is good, you know, in the Fallout. But there's so many branching story paths and all that crap. Red Dead Redemption is just a game that you can go through, play. The story is awesome. Yeah. You can spend all that time in the world just messing around, you know?
Yeah.
Which now, you know, Brent and I are going back playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and, you know, we don't even care about the story anymore.
No.
We're just doing all the side quests and, you know, hunting and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm having just as much fun as the first time I played it. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of stuff to do. I can't tell you just sitting down playing poker.
Oh my God, I waste hours and hours, which that's why I can't wait for Red Dead Online to play poker against other people.
Yeah.
It'll be like a poker simulator, which is awesome, you know. It'll be like online poker.
It will,
yeah. We can sit there and play poker against each other, which is, you know, which is really cool. But
yeah, we're really excited for the online.
We are, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, Fallout 76, I hate to say that, I don't think that it's good enough of a game right now for me to purchase.
No.
Especially since I just spent my $60 on Red Dead Redemption 2,
yeah.
And it's such a great game.
If you compare the two, there's no way. There's no way you can pick.
There's no way you can pick Fallout 76. Yeah. There's no way you can pick it over Red Dead.
You can't.
So, you know, Fallout 76, I hate to say that. And I haven't played it. Maybe if I played it, I'd actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to play some glitchy mess that the servers don't work.
Well, the servers, and they said the aiming and stuff. You know, you had the VATS where you which we knew you wouldn't be able to have that. But it's like they took the VATS away, which was that aiming thing.
You can still do the automatic aiming. It's just in real time.
Right. But they said the aiming is real glitchy, too. They said it.
I think that's more on the servers than the actual gameplay itself.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the Fallout 4 engine, the aiming on that felt pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, on the offline version.
That's
but
true.
But I've heard that there's a lag in what you're aiming at and when the bullet actually hits.
Oh.
So, like, you shoot at something, and by the time the game registers that you've shot, due to the latency on the server, by the time they've realized that you shot, the thing has already moved out of the way.
Oh, I got you.
And it's all glitchy. But, you know, that it is kind of Bethesda in general. Their aiming and stuff doesn't really feel that great.
Yeah.
You know, Fallout 3 and... Fallout New Vegas, the graphics are kind of crappy for PS3.
Yeah.
You know, and Fallout 4, the graphics aren't that great for PS4.
No,
especially
really
when you compare it to like a Red Dead Redemption, which we just keep bringing it up, but it's the best open world game that's ever existed right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd have to agree. And anybody wants to call us out on it, call us out. You know, say something on Facebook or something. But I don't think I've played a more complete game. Just the graphics and just everything in general.
No, just the world and, you know, the world building. The graphics are freaking amazing. You know, how the aiming is a little bit off if you don't use the auto assist.
Yeah.
You know, but I just use the auto assist because I don't think that's... The game was designed with it in there. The game is supposed to be played with it.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of people online taking off the auto assist or the aim, and they're like, oh, this, you know, this aiming's not very good. Well, you know, should you be able to shoot someone riding a horse while you're riding a horse, carrying a bunch of stuff, and you're turning around and shooting at them?
Yeah.
Should you really be able to headshot them every time? You know, not really.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, it's Fallout 76 right now. They came out too close to each other.
Yeah.
I would say that if Fallout 76 came out, 6 months before Red Dead or 6 months after Red Dead, I would probably take a chance on it with the, you know, $60. But right now, man, I can't see taking the chance on it. No. You know, it's just, which I hate. One thing that I kind of do like is that everybody's complaining about this game, and they made the game so awful that people are forgetting to make their West Virginia jokes about incest and stuff. So, if anything, the game is so bad that it took the attention away from the whole sleeping with your cousin jokes. So, I guess that's good. I don't know. But guys, yeah, we're not going to take the chance on Fallout 76 right now. But one thing we really are excited for is Red Dead Online, like we were just saying.
Yes, yes.
We're ready for this to come out, man.
And I know that since it released, the beta release date, they were talking toward the end of November.
Yeah.
We're right there. What did it say? Sometime next week, they're supposed to make an announcement?
They're supposed to be this week.
This
now.
Week.
Yeah. There's supposed to be an announcement of when the beta is going to release for Red Dead Online, and then... Which they're probably just going to say, they're going to come out with the press release and say, the beta's available now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I think it'll be available this week, and then they're going to announce the release date of the actual online.
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of curious to see how they do your character, if you can create a whole new character. I hope you can, because I'd hate to see everybody running around as Marston or...
Yeah, I think that's basically what happened in the first one, right?
Yeah, so I think it'd be kind of cool if you could actually create your own character and
that would be pretty cool. That. I don't think it's going to be like that though. I think you're just going to pick a character from the game.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Which, if anybody picks Micah out there, I mean, they should just be automatically killed.
Yes, yes.
Because Micah is just the worst.
Yeah.
But you know, that's some story spoilers there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red Dead Online, you know, what could it be? You know, there's a huge potential for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fallout 76 should have followed this model. There's a great offline version of the game, and then there's a great online version of the game.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't really get into Grand Theft Auto 5 online.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Couldn't do it, but that could have been more to do with the setting rather than the game itself.
Well, what ruined it for me, and it's no secret, is the three players. I didn't... Well, you're switching back and forth, so I...
Well, but I mean the online portion.
Yeah, so the online, I just never really got into it. I don't know.
Which there, you could create your own character there.
Yeah.
You know, and play as your own character. So maybe Red Dead Online will have that. I'm not sure. But yeah, man, you know, I can't wait for it. Just to get, like I said, go around, play poker, ride with your friends, hopefully not get killed every 3 seconds. That would be kind of stupid. But, you know, I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Just with the and you know, Rockstar will probably have the servers up and running pretty well.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, unlike Fallout 76. So, you know, especially once the online portion of Red Dead 2 comes out, there's just no reason you should be buying Fallout 76. Makes no sense.
To me, there's gonna be a lot of people spend a lot of time, and people spent 60 plus hours on it already.
Yeah,
and then playing the online. I mean, that's just,
who knows how many. I don't even know how many hours me and Brent have it, because of all the details in the game, there is no way to keep track of. I think I said it last week, but there's no way to keep track of the amount of time you've played the game.
Which, that's crazy for a Rockstar game, because I remember back to Grand Theft Auto 3, it always had playtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, total playtime, but
yeah, it doesn't on this one. But one thing about Red Dead, I had a little strategy guide debacle here.
Yeah, you did.
So the Red Dead Redemption 2 strategy guide, I wanted to get it because you know, I didn't want to miss any missions. There are some, as you're going through the story, there are some time sensitive missions and trophies that you can miss if you go too far in the story. And I missed a couple of those the first time I played through. So, you know, I thought, oh, I'll get the strategy guide. And I knew the strategy guide had these flow charts. Yeah. And it has these charts of, okay, do this mission, then this mission, so you won't miss it. You know, so I just look at the flow chart and say, okay, well, I need to go do this mission next. You know, I don't even look at how to do the mission or, you know, whatever. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get the strategy guide. So then I convinced Pickens to also get the strategy guide.
Which it does have a lot of good details.
It's a nice one. We got the hardcover, yeah. Which is really cool. It was like $35 or something like that. But the hardcover is really nice. Well, originally last week sometime, you couldn't get it anywhere. No. All the GameStops were sold out of it in the area. Walmart doesn't really carry that stuff anymore. This isn't a Prima strategy guide. It's by a company called Piggyback.
Yeah.
But with Prima going out of business, nobody's really going to carry strategy guides anymore. Actually, when I was at GameStop picking up the Red Dead Redemption 2 strategy guide, a guy came in and asked about the Pokemon Let's Go strategy guide. I guess he just wanted the strategy guide for the game. You don't really need a strategy guide to beat the game, but strategy guide is kind of just a collector's item, you know? It's cool to have, so you can flip through and look at all the art and all that.
Yeah.
But even the guy at GameStop, he's like, no, Prima's shutting down, so I don't even know if we're going to carry strategy guides anymore.
See, then that sucks, especially for games like, I know on some of these you don't, and it's been a while since I actually needed one, but Hitman, you know, there's so many different paths to go,
yeah,
and those, I always like the strategy guides for games like that.
Right.
And it sucks that, you know, you're not going to be able to find them like that anymore.
Yeah. But anyway, so at the time, it was sold out everywhere, so I couldn't get it. And Amazon was even out of stock on it, right? So I saw that Amazon was going to be back in stock with it Friday, this past Friday. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and order it on Amazon, and then if I find it somewhere else, I'll just cancel the Amazon order. No harm, no foul, you know? So I go, I find it, GameStop, apparently every GameStop in our area got a big truck in on Friday.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday. Wednesday is when I got it. Apparently they got a big truck in, and they got a bunch of these strategy guides. So I go up to the local GameStop and pick up the strategy guide. That's where the guy had the conversation about the Pikachu, Let's Go Pikachu thing, strategy guide. So I get the hardcover, and then immediately I walk out to the car, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to cancel my Amazon order. Amazon will not let me cancel my order. So I got a, I'm going to have two Red Dead Redemption 2 strategy guides for no reason. but, you know, whatever, man. It's going to get here Tuesday. You know, I might try to take the one I got from GameStop back or something. I don't know.
So if anybody out there needs a strategy guide, Rocky has one for sale.
If you need a Red Dead Redemption 2 strategy guide, I'll give you a really good deal on it. just let me know.
Seriously, there's a lot of information, in there. Yeah. Really, really good information about, yeah, you know, animals. Because there's one trophy where you have to skin every animal.
Yeah, which, you know, it's insane. It's like 200 animals in the freaking game. So, you know, that's just a crazy trophy to do without a strategy guide. But I know, so our buddy Adam, you know, that you work with, I used to work with, he's a good friend of mine still.
Yep.
He has a bias against strategy guides.
He does. He doesn't care for them.
Which I kind of get it. You know, oh, you should beat the game yourself, blah, blah, blah.
Which, I mean, I beat the game by myself.
I did beat the game by myself. And, you know, here's the thing about Red Dead 2. I got a little tiny gripe with it because there's stuff you can miss the first time through.
Yep.
And there's no New Game Plus feature, which those of you who aren't talk video games, New Game Plus is when you can start a game over and, keep all your equipment and stuff and play through the game again.
It'll probably come out later after I've started my second game.
Yeah, we already started our second game, so.
But I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed it, on the recipes for the small stuff?
Yeah.
Like the small game arrows?
Yeah.
I didn't have to find it. It was already, when I crafted it, it's already
there.
Yeah,
it's already there.
So it's like I've been noticing there's certain things that I already know how to do.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why either. I was kind of confused about it.
I started a completely new game.
I did too.
After I beat it. But strategy guides, man. So, you know, I like to have the strategy guide. Sometimes I'll buy a strategy guide, not even to, you know, help me beat the game or anything, just to have it because it's a book about the game that has a bunch of art and stuff in it, you know, which is really cool to have. The Red Dead Redemption 2 strategy guide, like, it's really cool. It's got a picture of Arthur Morgan on the front. On the back, it's got the Rockstar logo that's, like, engraved. It's kind of like an engraved. It looks really cool, man.
It does. It's a good-looking book.
And it's a really solid book, and I just like to have it for that reason. Not necessarily because, I'm too much of a pansy to beat the game by myself, you know. So that's why I like strategy guides. You know, so I don't think, like, you know, our buddy kind of tries to make the argument, like, oh, you shouldn't need the strategy guide for this, but.
Yeah, which, I mean, I get it to an extent, but there's stuff there's some stuff, you know, on items and like, I don't know. It's very informative, I think, on a lot of the stuff. So.
Yeah, so, you know, but that's it. I like strategy guides. I am sad that Prima's shutting down.
Yeah, that sucks.
You know, long time strategy guy. They've done strategy guides for over like 1,400 games.
Yeah,
which is an insane, 1,200 something like that. They've done an insane amount of games, which is, you know, it's kind of sad to see them go. You know, maybe they probably should have had a bigger online presence.
Yeah.
You know, like IGN, everybody just goes to the IGN video on how to beat stuff now. You know? Prima could have done something like that. They could have had a video where, you know, they say, okay, well, here's how you beat this. But, you know, hey, too little, too late, and now they're going out of business. But let's see, we're about 44 minutes in right now. So I think we should skip to our last topic here. Yep. Which is, Pickens and I last night went and saw Creed 2.
Yes.
Which, if anybody knows us, we love the Rocky franchise.
Oh, yes.
Matter of fact, one of our very first episodes was a review of the Rocky series. Our profile picture, you can see that it was taken during the Rocky review because I'm holding the copy of all my Rocky DVDs.
Yep.
I have the 5-box set. And I was actually looking on Amazon this morning like, man, I don't have Rocky Balboa. I should buy it, you know. Because looking back at that movie, it's, if you look at Rocky Balboa, Creed 1, and Creed 2, you could consider that a trilogy.
You could.
Because Rocky Balboa sets up that Adrian's gone.
Yep.
And, you know, Rocky has the Adrian's, restaurant.
Yep.
And all that. It sets up the Creed movies really well.
It really does.
You know, it was, you know, the fight at the end is a little ridiculous because, you know, the man's 60.
Yeah.
Well,
and to me, it's bittersweet, too, because that's the last time he actually got in the ring and fought, too. So
that's true. It's really cool, man.
And that's the way he wanted to end it, you know. So I don't know. I think Balboa kind of got a bad, you know.
I think it's a good movie. I think it's a really good movie.
I do too.
Yeah, I actually enjoy Balboa. Then you know, so Stallone wanted to end it like that. You know, Stallone wrote all these movies except like Rocky V or Rocky IV and V or something.
Yeah.
You know. He wanted to end it with Rocky Balboa, and then, you know, the director, oh gosh, why can't I think of his name right now? Let me see here. I gotta Google this here. Creed director. Ryan Coogler.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Coogler comes to him, which, with an idea for Creed.
Yeah.
Which Creed was, you know, it's an awesome movie, man. Yeah. You know, and Stallone liked it so much that he, you know, he okayed the script and liked the idea. And Ryan Coogler, at that point, he had only directed a movie called The Land, because he's from Cleveland, and it's a movie about Cleveland. It's like a indie movie.
Yep.
And then he went on to direct Creed. After he directed Creed, he went on to direct Black Panther for Disney. So,
yep.
You know, Creed was a big jumping off point. Obviously, Stallone nominated for Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, which he should have won.
Yeah.
Because that was obviously the best performance that year with Creed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Creed really went back to the roots of Rocky I.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky I won an Oscar. Did it win Best Picture or did it win?
I think it
or Best Original Screenplay or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it won Oscars and then Creed comes back and then the rest of them don't really get any Oscar hype or anything.
Yeah.
Creed goes back to the roots of that first Rocky.
It really did.
And, you know, Stallone, just an amazing performance.
Yeah.
And I'll say in Creed 2, he's amazing again.
He really was. The lines he said in that movie, they were just...
There's a spot in the very beginning. And so, guys, we're going to do our non-spoiler review here. And then in the last, like, 10 minutes or so, we're going to get into the spoiler review. But there's a scene, the very first scene in the movie, where he gives this speech to Creed, to Adonis Creed. And, man, I was like, damn, this is like the...
Yeah,
this is like the how winning is done speech, you know. That's how winning is done. But you know, it was, and it was like a throwaway moment. They kind of made a joke about it after, but
yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, you know. So the story of Creed 2, no spoilers, is that you know Creed, you know he fights Ivan Drago's son, mm-hmm. Victor Drago. And it kind of, it's a little bit surprising how they portray the Dragos in this movie. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Without spoiling it, it's kind of hard to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
But you know, Dolph Lundgren's back as Ivan Drago. He did a great job in this movie.
He really did.
His acting is way better than it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, we saw him in like the Expendables movies and stuff like that. But he's back, man. Him and his son, the interaction between them, he's really bitter about what happened in Rocky IV.
Yeah. And really he has his reasons
for it. You know, but, you know, and then Creed, you know, he's starting to have, you see it in the trailer, he's starting to have a family, you know, he's getting married to this girl, and who played by Tessa Thompson, and you know, from the first Creed, she can't hear things, but she's a musician, you know, but really,
so,
yeah, go ahead.
No, man. it really sets it up to me. I think it was Rocky III. It reminded me a lot of Rocky III.
There's a lot of elements of all of them.
He has, you know, he has all this going for him, and then you know, he has so much to lose too,
right?
You know, so I don't know. It like you said, it has. I've seen spots of Rocky 1 through Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what they've done with it.
You definitely see, like, Rocky 2.
Yeah.
As, you know, he lost in Creed 1. Yeah. And he's coming back for redemption in there. So you see the Rocky 2 elements, you know, and then you see Rocky 3 with, you know, a couple things that happen.
Yeah. It's hard to...
You see Rocky 4 because Drago comes back.
Yeah.
There's elements of Rocky V,
yeah,
you know, with his son,
yeah,
and stuff like that. That's set up in Rocky V.
Yeah.
That's further set up in Rocky Balboa. And then obviously you have Creed from the first Creed movie.
Yeah, there's...
So it pulls a ton... It's from all the movies.
Yeah.
And it pulls it together and really, really wraps it up.
It does.
You know, I kind of hope they don't have another Creed movie. We can get in more into that in our spoilers, yeah. But yeah, are there any other non-spoiler thoughts?
Man,
you
it's hard, really hard to talk about without talking about the movie.
Well, overall, I just think it was great.
Oh yeah, it was.
Do I like it as much as the first Creed? Probably not, but it's up there with it.
I think I'd put it above it.
You actually like it better than the first Creed?
Yeah, just because it had. Yeah, they put there's some stuff from all the others, and it pulls from it. So I like
the first Creed with Stallone and his performance and the whole having cancer thing.
Yeah,
I like that a little better than in this movie.
Yeah,
you know, but they're kind of tied for me. It's more of a two movie set. They kind of just go together.
They do.
They go together really well. And like I said, you can throw it in with Rocky Balboa and make that a trilogy and say, okay, we're kind of done.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I think it's a great movie. Go see it. If you haven't already seen it, go ahead and turn off the podcast now.
Yep.
You know, these last 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk about spoilers of Creed 2. So, fair warning, if you want to see Creed 2, you haven't seen Creed 2, pause the podcast, go all the way to the movie theater, keep the podcast paused,
yep,
and then come back and unpause the podcast.
Yes.
Fair warning, spoilers, 3, 2, 1, here we go. So, spoilers, where are we at, Pickens?
Man, I don't even know where you start. You know, I don't know where to start.
Well, so... Spoilers, first off, you know, Creed goes in, wins the title. That's his first fight.
Yeah.
He wins the title against an aging, you know, boxer.
Yeah, and they make a lot of references to where he's getting older, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of a...
He's like, what is it, 4 years ago, that had been a knockout, you know, when he hit him with that punch.
Which I think is kind of a reference to Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
He kind of, you know, he got older there at the end, you know, all that stuff. I think that's kind of a reference there. But he wins the title... and then, you know, Ivan Drago comes out.
Well, it's the same night, too.
The same night. Drago and his son fly to Philadelphia to challenge the champ, since he's the champ now. First, and you see the movie, really surprising, which Brent got there like a minute into the movie.
Yeah, I was running, it was, huh.
But it was really close. But the movie starts out with Ivan Drago. It doesn't start out on Creed. It doesn't start out... So you can tell right away that this is the Drago's movie just as much as it is a Creed movie. And you can see him fighting. He's just a beast. Yeah. This guy that got to play him is just an animal. But so then, you know, there's this really sleazy promoter guy who's supposed to be like a Don King type.
Yeah.
And puts the fight together and flies the Dragos to Philadelphia. And, you know, Rocky walks in after the fight, and he walks in, and Ivan Drago is sitting in Adrian's, sitting in the restaurant.
Yep.
And he's just really bitter, man. He's like,
yeah.
Him and his son, they're just like scowling the whole movie. They're like really,
they know, are. Bitter. And I mean, they made it a dark, you know, when they're walking, you know, they're just wearing, you know, they got just street clothes on. They got the hood up. Yeah. I mean, they just look, you know, real dark. Cause and then it goes to explain, when they sat down, you know, Drago's like, you know, you took everything from me that night.
Yeah, which is an interesting take.
It really is. And honestly, through the whole movie, I started kind of feeling for Drago.
You do, because, man.
Man, his after he lost that fight, the whole country turned on him.
Yeah.
The people that were that his wife left him and the son.
Yeah, Brigitte Nielsen left him, which she makes a return in this movie.
She does. And you know, and so Drago's putting all this pressure on his son. You know,
yeah, he's really hard on him.
He's rough on him, and you know, so you really start feeling for Drago because you know he had everything going for him, and after he lost to Rocky,
yeah,
everything was taken away.
Yeah, his whole country turned back on him,
and you don't really see that. You know, you're pulling for Rocky so much in Rocky IV. You know, you don't really think about that, and
you think at the end of Rocky IV. You think that, okay, Russia has learned its lesson. Yeah. Rocky single-handedly defeated communism.
Yeah.
You know, everything's cool. It'll be fine because Russia now knows that, oh, okay, well, he lost, but he tried his best. We're a kinder, gentler Russia now.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're still assholes. Brigitte Nielsen is terrible. She just leaves the man after he loses.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And
so, you know... so they challenge Creed to a fight, and then obviously Creed accepts. While he's accepting the fight, he learns out that Tessa Thompson's character is pregnant.
Yep.
They're going to have a baby, which is just crazy, you know. He accepts the fight at the same time, and so he fights Drago the first time.
And it's important, Rocky did not... not approve of it. Rocky was like, I will not be in your corner for this fight.
He wouldn't train him. He wasn't going to see him die just like his father.
Yep.
He couldn't do it.
And I will say, Adonis was kind of pissing me off the way he was toward Rocky there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's like, oh, he killed my father, you know, and I'm like, yeah, well, you don't know what that's like. Well, Rocky was in the ring.
He died. Creed died in his arms.
Yeah, he made a promise to Creed he would not throw the towel in, no matter what.
Yep.
And, you know, and Rocky even, he's like, you know, your dad died in my arms, you know, because of the decision I made and I have to live with it.
Yep.
You know, and it kind of made me mad the way the Adonis was being.
He acted like that Rocky owed him something.
Yeah.
Rocky didn't owe him a darn thing, man.
No.
You know, but so Creed goes into the fight, the first fight with Drago, and we knew... Just because the movie hadn't been on that long, we know this is just the first fight.
Yeah.
They basically pulled a Rocky III.
They did.
Right? There's a young and hungry guy. He beats him.
Well, and the thing is, you seen Drago working on the docks. He was working the docks, busting his ass, and then he was fighting on the, you know, when he, on the spare time. So
You said this in the theater. He is the Rocky of this movie.
Yes.
He's the Rocky. Creed is... The Apollo Creed of the movie.
Yes.
And Drago is the Rocky.
Yes.
Which is a really interesting... bump the mic. A really interesting flip they put on it.
Yeah.
You know, so... They do the first fight. Rocky's not in his corner. Tessa Thompson doesn't approve because she just found out she had a baby.
Yeah.
Obviously, his mother doesn't approve because her husband died in the ring fighting a Drago.
I do like what she said, though. He's like, I decided to take the fight, and, you know, she's like, yeah, okay, you know, he's like, well, you agree with it? She's like, I didn't say that, you know, but you're a grown-ass man, you make your own decisions, but don't you dare make this out to be about your father.
Yep.
And, you know, that's kind of what he tried to do. And, yeah. you know, it.
So he goes in and he gets absolutely destroyed.
Yes.
By Drago. But Drago knocks him down at the end of the fight. He's broken his ribs. His eye is just completely hosed.
Yeah.
It turns out he ruptures a kidney, you find out later. But Drago hits him while he's on the canvas.
Which, all fairness, though, I was kind of surprised they went that route with the DQ. Because it's not like he was all the way... I mean, he was down on one knee.
Yeah.
And, you know...
But that's still, you know, by boxing rules, that's...
Yeah. But...
At the same time, protect yourself at all times.
That's right. Yeah. Ask Mayweather about that. He'll tell you.
Oh, that's real. But, you know, so Creed wins the fight because Drago is disqualified.
Yeah.
And, you know, it basically breaks Creed at that point. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He's still got the title, but he's in the hospital and he's just...
Yeah, he's going through rehab and he, you know, he's not talking to, you know his fiance or...
Yeah, and she's like 8 months pregnant at this point, yeah. You know, because he's been training for a few months.
And Rocky went to visit him in the hospital. He won't talk to Rocky because he feels Rocky turned his back on him. And
yeah, so for the first fight, he goes to Apollo Creed's trainer's son.
Yes,
right. Which we see him in the first movie. He's in the first movie. He originally trained. He won't train Adonis.
Yeah,
I think. But so yeah, so after the you know they she has the baby. You know, Creed kind of, he's lost the will to fight at that point.
Yeah, he won't even go in the gym and, like, work out.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a night where he gets left alone with his baby, and he goes to the gym, and he starts hitting the heavy bag,
yep.
And it kind of gets him, you know, pumped up again.
Yep.
So he goes back to his wife now and says, you know, hey, let's, I gotta, and they're gonna vacate the belt if he doesn't have a rematch.
Yep.
He doesn't have to fight Drago again, but he has to fight somebody,
right.
Or they're gonna vacate the belt.
Right.
So he goes back to her and says, "I gotta fight Drago again."
Yep.
So this is kind of, you knew this was gonna happen.
Yep.
You know, he's gonna go back and fight Drago again. See, now at this point, things have kind of flipped for Drago. Back in Russia, he's got things are going well again, you know, and he kind of sees Ivan Drago. He kind of sees that Ivan is, you know, his father is, you know, he's kind of smoozing with people who, you know, they turned their back on him at first. And I thought that was a really cool character moment for Victor Drago, his son. Was, you know, he tells Ivan Drago, especially when his mom shows back.
Yeah, when she walks in, you know, he gets up. He just gets up and leaves.
Goes out and he's like, "These are the people that turn their back on you, and you're sitting there and like, oh, we're gonna win now." So you know they're back in your life, which is really cool.
And then Drago was like, "Well, you know, he calms Victor down. He's like, well, I lost."
Yeah. Well, but he's still tough on him about it.
Yeah.
You know, at this point. So, Creed goes back to Rocky. Rocky agrees to train him, because
I do like what he said in the when he asked Rock when they're in Apollo's house, and they're talking about Rocky not seeing his son, and
right.
And they find that they kind of mend their relationship, and Rocky talks about how he, you know, you fought him the way you were trained. He's like, you right. can't fight somebody that big with your fighting style.
Yep.
And he's like, you're saying yours is better? He's like, I won, didn't I?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So Rocky takes him down to, like, Mexico to train.
Yeah.
which is really cool. And, you know, cue the montage.
Yep, yep.
You know, you can see Creed training. You can see Drago training for the fight. Drago gets, you know, trunks gifted to him from the prime minister of Russia or whoever. So, you know, this time, you know, they're going to fight again. And they go into the fight and Creed ends up winning.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, in a crazy way at the end. He's beaten up on Victor Drago. The Brigitte Nielsen has just walked out because she sees that he's getting beat, right?
Yeah, she hits him and walks out.
And then the camera goes to Ivan Drago, and it looks like he's going to walk away too.
Yeah.
But then you realize he climbs up on the ring and throws in the towel.
Yep.
Forfeits the fight. And, you know, he goes into the ring with his son, and he says, you know, it's okay. It's okay, we lost, blah, blah, blah. And he learns a big lesson.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing we got to say is, after all this stuff with Drago, we were pulling for Drago at the end of this fight.
And I honestly thought once Victor saw his mom walk out, he was going to knock out Creed. I really thought. And honestly, I kind of wish that's the way they would have went.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you know, the whole movie, you're kind of pulling for Creed, and then you see this side of it, and I don't know, for me anyway, I felt really bad for Drago.
I did, man.
Because he lost everything. You know, everything was taken away, and he put all this pressure on his son to get back in the spotlight, so they'd be back at the top.
See, I didn't really feel bad for Ivan Drago. I felt bad for the son.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really, because Ivan was still, like, pushing him. He hadn't learned his lesson.
Yeah.
You know, he's still, like, pushing his kid. And, you know, I mean, he could have moved out of the Ukraine. I mean, just moved to America. But whatever. But, you know, the son, he was raised up in, Rocky says in the movie, he's raised in hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's raised this way, and his dad's so tough on him, and he's trying his best, and he's trying not to let down his dad, you know. And Creed, at this point, he's kind of set, you know. He has everything that he needs.
Yeah.
Drago does not. And that's why I was kind of feeling for Drago. And there were a couple, I didn't know what was going to happen in that last fight. They honestly did a good job of that.
Yeah.
Where I didn't know which way it was going to go.
No, yeah, because I honestly thought after his mom walked out, he was gonna get up, but then when Drago got up and threw the towel in, and you know, told his son it was okay. I don't know, man. That hit me right here.
It hits you there, man. There's a lot of moments in this movie there.
Yeah,
Allison, my wife, said after, she's like, there was just all kinds of emotions in there. You know,
yeah, there really was, and I definitely recommend it. It was a great movie. It just had it all. I mean,
we actually think that there should be another movie. I think they should quit making Creed movies.
Yeah.
And I think the next movie needs to be Drago.
I agree.
You know, and how he is going to rebound from this and try to fight Creed for a third time, I guess, or maybe.
Well, they could even go the other way and do a little earlier.
Yeah,
showing a little bit after his dad's, you know, law and why, you know, and
they him could,
did, you know, so there's a lot of different ways they could go with it. I'm just curious to see if they do anything with it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see the Drago side of things. I was actually more interested in that in this movie than I was the Creed storyline.
Yeah, I was too.
And you know, I thought we thought Rocky was going to die in this movie. He didn't.
He didn't.
They didn't take him out. I read they are actually trying to hide how buff Sylvester Stallone was on this movie, because he's shredded right now for Rambo.
Yeah, he is.
In which, if anybody doesn't know, we're really excited for the new Rambo movie.
Yes.
He goes home to his farm in Arizona, and he's going to be fighting the Mexican drug cartels that are trying to take over his land. So, I mean,
the man trying to go home, trying to bring it full circle, just trying to.
When are you going
to
go full circle, John?
Just trying to ranch, and it's going to be good.
It's going to be awesome. There's been some set pictures out with, like, Cowboy Rambo. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. So, Stallone, man, he just can't go wrong right now. The Rambos and Rockies are coming back. You know, usually these series come back, and you're like, oh, that's going to be stupid.
Yeah.
But not this one, man.
They've done a really good job with it, and I was really surprised.
So that just goes to show you how talented Stallone is, the vision he has for this stuff.
Yeah. And I know I've said it before, but if you get a chance, go out and watch him choreographing one of the fights with him and Apollo.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting thing to watch.
Yep.
just to watch him, you know, setting it up and choreographing.
Which it's ridiculously, it's basically like, you're going to punch me in the face 87 times, and then I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, that's how Rocky, it's really unrealistic. Any of those shots that Creed took from Drago in the first fight would have knocked him completely out.
Yes.
you know, but that's how Rocky is, and you know that's how Rocky is, and it makes it awesome.
Yeah.
You know. In Rocky IV, any of those punches that Drago hit Rocky with would have knocked him out.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, man, Creed II, go see it. It was awesome. You know, Creed's the champion now. And it shows a scene at the end where the two Dragos are running together,
yep.
Which is pretty cool. Hopefully they're setting up for a Drago movie, because that's what I want now.
I do too.
I want that side of it. But guys, that's all for us this week.
Yep.
We had another successful podcast, so thanks for listening. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in the Couch Thoughts Podcast. This episode is available on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can find us on Twitter at Couch Thought Pod. We don't really use the Twitter very much, but I got it out there just in case. And then, YouTube, you can check our the first 12 episodes are up there. You can check our old archive if you want to listen to any past episodes. You know, we try to kind of make this podcast where you can listen to the older episodes if you really want.
Yeah.
So guys, thanks for listening. Until next podcast, later.